As the Lord shall help me, I would direct your attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and verse 29. John 4, verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We are well acquainted, doubtless, over the years, by familiarity with this word, with this woman, and according to the divine appointment and the will of God, there was this meeting. No perchance meeting. Nothing happens by chance, dear friends, in the experiences of the Lord's people. All things are ordered by Him. And there will be a fulfilling of all these things concerning His dear people. And no matter, dear friends, what nation, kindred, or tongue they may belong to, they shall all come that the Father giveth to Jesus. And they will come unto Him as laboring and heavy laden sinners. I do feel in this day there's a great, great need for conviction of sin. There are many that are caught up in a wave of notion and emotion in religion, but there's that exercise, I believe, of the true seeker, that he might know something of the burden of sin. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. There are some dreadful things that are wrapped up in our day, sin. But my friends, God is not mocked, and God does not wink at sin. And God, my friends, will expose every sin. And every sin will be answerable. Oh, what a solemn consideration it is, that the very sins of thought and of word of deed of every one that is in the covenant will be revealed to them, and they will be convinced of their sins, and they'll be broken hearted by their sins, and they'll be brought low, and they will have nothing to boast of. If there's anything I loathe, it's men boasting of what they've done, ministers boasting of what they've preached and how they have been blessed. My friends, it's very humbling. If we should ever be used by the Spirit to be made a blessing to any soul, it's humbling, not exalting. And so we want to be delivered from that is of the flesh, which is flesh. And if there's enough grace in our hearts, friends, which I feel personally a great need of, it'll exclude any boasting. It'll be not unto us, but unto Him. He must have all the praise and all the glory if He should have met you and stopped you in your mad career. This woman, we might say, was in a mad career. She was like the licensed sin today in our land. Marriage is made a mockery of. Marriage is despised. Marriage is rejected. And even, dear friends, the government of our land encourages living in sin. But God is not mocked by these things. And God is not mocked, dear friends, in any way by these sins, even in the churches and amongst congregations. And so we would realise solemnly that the omniscient eye of God is upon us each, and He will bring you here, and He will tell you all things. There's none of us that are sinless. There's none of us can say we've lived a perfect life. And even though we might have put on an open profession, sin has marred everything that we have done. But therefore our very best is stained, and die with sin, ere all is nothing worth. We don't want to know it, do we? We want to pass it by. But sin, dear friends, is that transgression of God's holy law. And here is that woman that it was the appointed time for Jesus to come. He, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And you know, the Lord, I believe, in his humanity was weary. But is in his deity, he is never wearied, he never sleepeth, and he never slumbers. And yet in his humanity, he had a body like unto yours and mine, sin excepted. And so he was wearied with his journey. And you and I, my friends, will know what it is to be weary with the journey. And you need the Lord to come and declare unto you his love to you. And you sometimes wonder if he ever will, because you're so sinful and you're so led captive and drawn aside and allured and attracted to the things of this present evil world. Lawful things can become idols in your lives and in mine. But what a mercy, dear friends, that God is a spirit. And in this discussion with this woman at the well, the Lord was enabled to open the eyes of her understanding. And she had heard, even in her former religion, that Messiah was to come, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now when this Jesus, who is not revealed to you in his flesh, but by faith we see him, and revealed to you by the Spirit, then he speaks to your heart. And that voice of the good shepherd of the sheep is as quite as effective as it was in the case of this woman. And faith is given you to believe this is the voice of the Son of God. And he speaks to you through the preaching of the gospel. It is the proclamation of the good news of salvation to sinners. And it will exalt a precious Christ. And he will tell you all things that ever you did. Those days of unregeneracy, when you were seeking the things of this world, when you were seeking the vain pleasures, when you had no thoughts of eternity, no thoughts of a never dying soul and where it was going to spend eternity. And we look upon the poor things in this sinful land of ours, and God's judgments are in the earth because of men's sinfulness and women's sinfulness, and these dreadful judgments, this dreadful disease that is plaguing the nations of the earth. And it's all by reason of sin. And man makes excuses, and man covers it up, and man tries to compassionate sinners that are living in sin. But all my friends, they will be subjects of the wrath of God one day if they repent not and believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a mercy, dear friends, if you have been directed to this man and he has told you all things that ever you did. He has brought to your remembrance by his Spirit those former things. Those things that you have carried out in your life that are a stain upon your conscience. Those things that he causes to rise in your heart when he reminds you of what you did and how you had broken his commandment in it. And he called you to cause you to weep and to mourn and even to have desired, yes friends, to have desired to have had your life over again, that you might have made amends for this or that sin. Oh, how they are brought to your remembrance and how you have to confess them before God, how you weep over them and regret that you ever did, said, or thought this evil thing. Well, my friends, it wouldn't be any different if you or I had our lives over again. We should still be sinners because we were conceived in sin, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But blessed be God. There is a way of escape from the wrath of God. And it's through this man that receiveth sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Think of the self-righteous Pharisees that there were in his day. And they're still, dear friends, in the land. Those that are resting on their own opinion. And oh, there are many opinions, dear friends, in man's sinful mind. But there's only one right way, and that is, as the truth declares unto you and me, and you'll search those scriptures, I believe, as grace is given, that you might know the right way. And it'll all be through the merits of Jesus Christ. And so, you have heard the truth in the letter, and you like this woman. You might say that when I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Now Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm not inferring that any of you have sinned in the way this woman has, but this is an example that we have in God's word, and it is to make you and me to realize or believe, as the Spirit seals it upon your soul, that you and I cannot cast a stone at this woman, but like that other woman taken in adultery, the matter is this: he didn't condemn her, but he said this very plainly, go and sin no more. She would sin, yes, but not in that manner that was forbidden of him. And where the voice of a king is, there is power, as he tells you to come out of this or that sin, to forsake this sin, and seek to be led into that narrow way. Few there be that find, there'll be a striving, mind you, in your experience and mine, to enter in at the straight gate. A striving to labour to enter into that rest that remaineth to the people of God. You know, we should never escape God's wrath. I would that I could ponder these things more. You know what it is, some of you friends, to meet up with the worldling, and how we can soon get caught up in their conversation, even though we might not be left, dear friends, to their dreadful language. But you're caught up with them lawfully, you meet with them lawfully in your lives. But oh, how you need to be delivered from them and have more of this felt realization that you're a sinner, and that you need the love and the blood and the righteousness of this man that came into the world to save sinners, of whom you and I feel to be chiefest. And to look to him as that chiefest among 10,000, that altogether lovely one. Do you see a suitability in Christ? You know, there was nothing here to show to this woman that he was the only begotten Son of God, full of truth, until he spake, until he told her all things that ever she did. And so it is with you and me, this word of truth that we have before us, the Lord must speak to us through it. He must reveal himself to us in it. Otherwise, there will be none more than perhaps a nice story, a belief in your soul that it is the word of God, but you want it applied to your heart, sealed upon your soul. He says, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Oh, to be a true worshipper, to fall at his feet, to hear his voice say unto you and me, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." And so this woman, my friends, had an effectual conversion by the Spirit of the Lord. These things were taken, I believe, as Jesus spoke, by the Spirit and sealed upon her soul. There must be of necessity in our callings, dear friends, the work of the Trinity in unity. There is nothing done without the other. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But all power is given unto the blessed Jesus. And he has promised that he will send the Holy Comforter. And we seem today, by reason of our sinfulness, our slackness, our backslidings, we seem to have grieved the Spirit of God, for there's a great withholding, as you and I are doubtless aware of. There are not those former visits that we once felt we had had. There is not that sweetness that we have so longed for of the streams that have flowed out so freely in times past from the river of God's love. But you see, it is a proving a present of the trial of your faith. It is a trial of your faith. But come see a man. He is still that same man that still rules and reigns in heaven, friends. And though there seems to be a hiding of his face, a withholding of his power in our day, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is our only hope, that he will yet condescend to come and revive our drooping spirits, and come and say unto our souls once again, or even for the first time if need be, say unto our souls, "I am thy salvation." Or then to have that true worship of Jesus Christ, that we might know him as that anointed one of God that came and trod this earth, and that performed those many miracles that we read if the books had been written concerning all those miracles, they would have filled the world. Think of the miracles then that he must have performed in his short ruling in the earth, and going up and down, doing good, healing the sick, the halt, the lame, the maimed and the blind. Now you and I in effect are just as much infirmed by reason of our sinfulness as the halt, the lame, the maimed and the blind. 'Tis Jesus alone can say to you, rise up, take thy bed and walk. Or in other words, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Or daughter, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. You see, this woman was given that gift of faith that she might believe. Come, see a man. And she wanted to tell others. And if the Lord, my friends, has told you all things that ever you did, then these are the qualifications to tell others. You've nothing to bring that sounds good and pleasing to man, but you've come and you confess your sins. And you come and you say this, come, see a man. Come, all ye that fear my name, and I will declare unto you what he hath done for my soul. What hath he done for our souls? We do well to examine ourselves to see whether he has done anything. It'll be unforgettable. It'll be unforgettable if the Lord has done anything for your soul. It may be only an aching void, but it'll be unforgettable. You may not feel the sweetness of it now or the power of it, but it'll be an unforgettable thing in your life. When the Lord came where you are, pricked you in the conscience, made you to plead, if not audibly, secretly for mercy, caused you to have a falling tear or two, softened your heart, and made your spirit meek. Or has he revealed himself to you? The time will come when you will not be able to hide your light under a bushel, for the very stones will cry out. Those unforgettable times when the Lord distressed you with that realization of what a sinner you were and are in the sight of the pure and holy eyes of your gracious God that created you and the heavens and the earth. And he will solemnly awaken you to the solemn truth that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. What a dreadful end there must be to the wicked, friend. But what a mercy if you have had those moments of sorrow here below. Some men's sins are open before them. They have gone, dear friends, before them. They have confessed their sins before the Father's throne. Why? Because he hath told you by his Spirit all things that ever you did. And you humbly hope you can say to others in that right time, come, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What hath he done? Expose to you your sins, and you'll be shamefaced before him. You will blush and be ashamed to lift up your face before God if you've had this conviction of sin. And what a painful path it will be. But see here, friends, here's one that's shown you that. And though it's left an indelible, unforgettable experience in your heart, there is one that you'll be seeking first, and seeking to know and seeking to hear his voice as you are given faith to believe that he can even save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. Now what a precious name is the name of Jesus to a sinner in distress. A guilty, weak and helpless worm. That's where you'll be. And when the Lord convinces you of your sinnership, when he awakens you from that dead form without the power, and he brings down your heart with labor, and you fall down and there's none to help, and you cry unto him, and what does he do? He shuts out your prayer, and you get lower and lower in your felt feelings, and you say, can God ever dwell here? And yet this woman, my friends, as her sins were exposed before her, Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And so you'll be amongst those that are hungering and thirsting for a sip from the wells of salvation, living water. The promises sealed upon your soul, and that faith to believe, and that you might be enabled to tell all those around what a dear Saviour you have found. Point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Now some have come that way. They've pointed to their only heart. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And so there be that pleading by you and me at the throne of grace. And I believe while we live, we shall know what that conviction of sin is. Daily. To feel yourself undone will make you haste to kiss the Son and on thy knees for pardon sue. Or to feel this daily repentance. Or to feel this daily mourning over your sins. And yet all the while that eye looking to Jesus, who alone is able to reveal himself to you as the living Christ. The living Christ, the anointed one of God that ever liveth to make intercession for you and such a poor sinner as me. And so we would be found amongst those that believe that Jesus is able. And it will be, dear friends, that you and I will be found a miracle of grace. It'll be a miracle to everyone that is saved by grace. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And your smite upon your breast, I believe at times, with the prayer of the publican, for God to be merciful to you, a sinner. And oh, my friend, what a privilege to have, though this is a sorrowful path to walk out, when the Lord, unforgettably reveals to you your sinnership, I believe you'll live to praise and bless God has revealed in Christ for his great goodness and his mercy, that he should ever have a favour towards you, because it is a favour to have this true conviction of sin and to be told and brought to your remembrance of all things that ever you have done, evil things, wicked things, dreadful things, the whole catalogue of sins that is recorded against your name and mine. He has taken it out of the way. And to this purpose he came into the world, that he might satisfy the just demands of the holy law. Oh, then, what a mercy to be looking to this Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. As none could conquer sin and death and hell, friends, about this mighty Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is that faithful then and acceptable saying, that he came into the world to save sinners, and he hath put all in subjection under him. All things are to be put under him. All then for grace to be submissive to this mighty Saviour. He assumed human nature that he might satisfy the just demands of the law. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Now what a mercy this is. And in that he died unto sin once. And in that he hath been raised, he hath been raised into heaven. And he will raise each and every son and daughter of God to heaven at last. What a mercy. Even this vile, sinful woman. And you and I cannot cast any stones at her, can we? Mind you, we shall not license sin. We shall not wrap up sin. And we are exhorted how to deal with sin when one another sins. But the Lord, my friends, does reign. And he says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Do you and I believe this, these living waters? Have you had a sip? Have you received a crumb of mercy? Has the Lord dropped a word? In other words, in your heart and mine, he said, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you. What is that? Faith in the precious promises. And the Lord takes those promises and seals them. You see, the Word is made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Come. The invitation of this woman, the invitation of an equally sinful man before you tonight. Come. See a man that told me all things that ever I did. I look back now 30 odd years as a serviceman in a little bulletin mortar, Sunday morning, and no worship for me. I'd run away from the truth. The Lord, my friends, came to that billet. He put an aching void in my soul. I vowed before God, if I were brought safely home, I would go to the little sanctuary at East Peckham. And so I did. The Lord caused me there to meet the girl to become my wife. You don't understand the love of God to such a wretch that had turned his back upon the truth. Much more to even allow such a sinner to be put in this office of the ministry. My friends, Christ is a faithful high priest, doubtless had prayed for this soul that I might not be lost. Now can anything, dear friends, be mean that's worthy of our King? It's to think that he should condescend to arrest a sinner in such a way. Glory to God, not to man. It's nothing in me, friends. He spared my life these many years. We have known those to fall around about us, cut down in the prime of their life. But the Lord reigns. What a mercy, dear friends, to have been amongst these wretched sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? I thank God, I hope, I can feel, I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Come then, is the invitation of the gospel, come to see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He is able, friends. He is willing, doubt no more. All the fitness he requireth in coming to Christ is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. And he bids you and me to come. Come. Come filthy, come just as you are, and all that the Father giveth me shall come and declare what God has done for our souls. Now see, and many more believed, we read, because of the testimony of this woman. And many, dear friends, believed because of his own word. And the mercy is to hear, to have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Or who is a God then like unto him that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger, friend. You may feel to be steeped in trouble at present. You may feel God's anger has gone out against you. We know what it is, I believe, to find that the heavens are as brass when you have committed some important feeling trial unto him and he seems to shut out your prayer. But the time of love will come, or for faith to believe it. There is that appointed time that shall roll on apace, not to propose but call by grace. We hope it was in our own case. We hope it will be in the cases of others that are known to us. Oh, how we need the Lord then to reach forth his arm and save sinners. Give them that grace to repent and faith to believe in his name, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Or 'tis then that great need in our exercises, is it not, for the Spirit of truth to be wrestled for and to be wrestled with, that the Spirit of truth might come down, that we might yet see, dear friends, that work of the Spirit manifested. The fruits meet for repentance, godly sorrow, hunger and thirst, a desire to win Christ and be found in him, to be amongst those true converts that shall be asking their way to Zion with their faces thitherward, and to leave your water pot. Oh, we want to leave our water pots. Martha, careful and troubled about many things, her water pots, her busy things. And all you know the busy scenes of life, and it seems to be more and more a busier world to live in than ever it was before. And all we never seem to be able to get sufficient done in a day. And yet, my friends, this woman left her water pots. There's a more important matter, the all-important matter, the vital knowledge of salvation by grace. The vital need needs be for godliness with a contentment which is great gain. All to be favoured with this real godliness and with contentment, and to be taught the fear of the Lord. Come, leaving water paths, and all a mercy is, it is when we are favoured to turn aside and see this great sight. Moses turned aside from his busy scenes to witness the almighty hand of God in the burning bush, yet it wasn't consumed. Or that we might know something then of the power of God and the reviving of our drooping spirits, the reviving of Zion, the revival of a real religion, things known and felt in your soul and mine, that we might come under these invitations to come unto me, he says, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Yet the truth of God is most solemn. The very discriminating words that I have read to you, or that we might be those sinners favoured to have Christ meet with us and talk with us. Those two Emmaus Road disciples whose hearts burn within them when he talked with them by the way. Oh, may the Lord then bless your souls with this drawing influence, this gracious invitation to come see a man. You know, though he is God, he is manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, preached on among the Gentiles, received up into glory. Or would you not be choosing then rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt? Come. This gracious invitation may be for some poor soul tonight. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? May God then in that appointed time make you willing in the day of his power to follow him. Amen.
Seven hundred.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.